Thank you. We continue our studies on the life of faith. As I have been saying, the life of faith is a life of living in fellowship with God in spite of any circumstances under which we live. It is always possible in any age for a man or a woman to live the life of faith. It's a life, I say, of fellowshipping with God under any circumstance. And God did not give you faith to transform the world. He gave you faith to walk with God in the midst of a world that's opposed to him. And this is so wonderfully seen in the life of this man, Abram. And we have followed through the different tests of his faith. And now we come to chapter 16, where we have the patience of faith. And here we see where Abram failed again. You remember in chapter 12, he failed in the sufficiency of faith. And that had to do with circumstances. Question is, can God keep me in the land in the midst of a famine? And he went down to Egypt, and having failed God, he failed man. Now when we come to chapter 16, we have where Abram failed again. And the test is, can he wait God's time? The test in chapter 12 was, is God sufficient for my daily need? Now the question is, can he wait God's time? You remember God had said in chapter 13, your seed shall be for multitude as the sand by the seashore. In chapter 15 he had said, behold the stars of heaven, so shall thy seed be. Still, he has no child. And Abram's getting up in years. Now he's 85 years of age. And Sarah is 75 years of age. And so we read in chapter 16. Allow me to read some of these verses. Now Sarah, or Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. But she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. He's now 85 years of age. And she gave Hagar to Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as it pleaseth you. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Verse 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name which Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years of age when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now here we have what I call the patience of faith. The test is, can he wait God's time? You know, it's awfully hard to wait God's time. As I was saying to some friends the other day, I would like to tell God to hurry up. You know, you wonder if God hears your prayers, you see what's to be done, and you wish God would hurry up and do it, or he would move. But you know, the Lord is always on time. The Lord doesn't run like you and me. You and I, we get fretful. We begin to push ourselves. We have deadlines. And we come under pressure. That's never so with God. The Lord is always on time. And as Ephesians chapter 1 says, he's working all things out after the counsel of his own will. And even Romans 8:28, which most of you know, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. But oh, how we want God to hurry up. But listen. Look at this chapter. There are no altars in this chapter. There are no tents mentioned in this chapter. You find that these folk are out of fellowship with God. Now notice, Sarah said to Abram, look at here, Abram. I can't bear your children. I'm 65 years of age. I've been barren all my life. But I'll tell you what you do. You take Hagar, my handmaid, my Egyptian handmaid, which she got out of Egypt, and you go ahead and get a son from me through her. Now, this was a common thing in those days. I know we have a different situation. We have different circumstances here where we live. But it was common in Abram's day. You find it, for example, with Jacob. When he went down to Padan Aram, you remember, he had some sons, not only through Leah and Rachel, but also through their maids. It wasn't a question of immorality. It wasn't a question of some passion. This was a clear-cut case of I want a boy, and I can't give you a boy, so you take my maid. The maid belongs to me. Everything she has belongs to me, so if she has a child, it'll be my child. And then again, you could think of this. Sarah was saying to Abram, there's no hope for me in having a child, but Abram, I still have hope in you. They still had confidence in the flesh. And the result was, Ishmael is born. May I say, my Christian friends, and I'm going to say it very bluntly, how we want to help God out. The flesh is always wanting to help God out. Can't wait God's time in doing a thing. We're going to help God out. With the result, and I say this also very kindly, a great many of our local churches have a great many Ishmaels in them. They are the fruitage of the flesh. We hear sometimes of a great mass meeting. So many have been saved. Are they saved? Was this a movement of the Spirit of God using the Word of God through the man of God? Or was this just a mere emotional experience? You know, Paul could say in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, when I came to you, Thessalonians, I didn't come with any tricks or stories or stunts. I didn't come with any flattery. I didn't come with a covetous of money. I came as I was indeed the bond slave of Jesus Christ. I just suggest this in passing. Even in your Christian ministry, walk with God and let the Spirit of God do the job. And I'm going to tell you very frankly, you become so zealous for the Lord. All of us do. We want to see souls saved, and if we can't get them forward on one pretext, we'll get them forward on another pretext. If I can't get my Sunday school children saved one way, I'm going to get them saved another way. And you produce Ishmaels, and oftentimes we do more damage than good. I say this very, very kindly, and I'm not going to judge in this matter except to say that this is true. Experience, facts have proved this to be true. So you have Sarah, barren. But she has great hopes of Abram when she said, you take Hagar, my handmaid. And the result, Ishmael is born. The fruit of the flesh. Do you ever think of it? Adam was the head of a race, and he hearkened unto Eve and failed. Abram is the head of a nation. He hearkened unto Sarah, and he failed. Now, by the way, the moral is not that men should not hearken unto their wives. I'm not going to get between husband and wife on this question, but I'm just stating a fact that Adam hearkened unto Eve, and the result was they were cast out of the garden, and sin came into the human race. Abram hearkened unto Sarah, Abram, who was the head of a nation, hearkened unto Sarah, and Ishmael is born. And now we have two things in the life of Abram which they got out of Egypt: Hagar, through whom he got Ishmael, and the wealth which they received in Egypt. And both these things, wealth and the descendants of Ishmael, have made great trouble for Israel down through the centuries, even down to the present day. As I say, mark you, there is no altar, there is no tent. And may I suggest at the end of the chapter, and verse 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name which Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old, 86 years of age, when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now look at the first verse of the next chapter. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9. Between chapter 16 and 17, there is 13 years of silence. 13 years without a revelation of God. 13 years without an altar. 13 years with no testimony. What do you think Abram's doing in the 13 years? He's playing with Ishmael. And not only is he playing with Ishmael, but you've got a problem in the house. Hagar came back. God sent an angel and sent Hagar back to her mistress. And by the way, God never recognized Hagar as the wife of Abram. Go back to your mistress, Sarah. And God blessed Ishmael because of Abram and took care of Hagar. And Hagar came back to the tribe, back to Abram, and she bare a son, and there was 13 years. By the way, those of you who like biblical numerics, 13 is the number of rebellion. You remember in chapter 14, these nations served Kedorlaomer 12 years, and in the 13th year, they rebelled. 13 is the number of rebellion. 13 years, I say, without a revelation from God. 13 years without a testimony. 13 years silence. 13 wasted years playing with the flesh, the fruit of the flesh. My friend, may I make this statement to you, whether it's you or me or any of God's people, time spent out of the will of God is wasted time. Do you know we're exhorted to redeem the time because we're living in evil days? You find this in Ephesians chapter 5, where we're told to redeem the time because the days are evil. And time spent out of the will of God is wasted time as far as God's concerned. Friend, how much time do you waste? How much time do I waste? Time spent out of the will of God is wasted time. 13 years. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 17. And when Abram was 99 years of age, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Here you have a new revelation of God with a rebuke. The Lord was rebuking Abram for going 13 years out of fellowship, 13 years playing with Ishmael. But he gave him a new revelation. I'm El Shaddai. I'm the Almighty God. I will do exactly what I promised. I promised you a seed like the sand of the seashore for multitude. I promised you a heavenly seed like the stars of heaven. And I promise you yet you're going to have a boy through Sarah. I'm the El Shaddai. I can do exactly what I promised. You walk before me and be thou perfect. By the way, you know there are four ways in the Bible that we should walk before God. In Genesis chapter 5, Enoch walked with God as a friend in blessed fellowship. In Genesis chapter 17, this passage, walk before me as a child in simple trust. In Deuteronomy 13, God said through Moses to Israel, walk after me as a servant in simple obedience. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, the Apostle Paul speaking says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. He now becomes our life, our path. May I repeat those? Enoch walked with God as a friend in blessed fellowship, Genesis 5. Abram was told to walk before God as a child in simple trust, Genesis 17:1. Israel was told to walk after God as a servant in simple obedience. That's in Deuteronomy 13. And we are told, as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, to so walk in him. He's not only our life, but he's our very path. You find this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. We walk with him, before him, after him, in him. It's rather precious that every phase of life is there, isn't it? We walk in blessed fellowship. We walk in simple trust. We walk in simple obedience. We walk in him, our path. There are a great many of Christians who call themselves the servants of the Lord, but they want their own way. Now, where are you walking today? Are you walking in fellowship with God, in precious fellowship? Do you walk before him as a child in simple trust, just trusting him, the omnipotent El Shaddai? Do you walk after him in obedience to his precious word? For this is the measure of your love for him. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Why, in faith. Then walk in him. He becomes your life. He becomes your very path. Oh, I plead with your heart today, Christian friend. Can't we wait God's time? And I say very frankly that when we do not wait God's time, we get ourselves into trouble. And more than likely, we defeat the very thing we want to do. We want God to hurry up and do it right now. I repeat it, God is always on time, and he'll do the thing he wants to do. And you will save time if you just walk with him and walk after him and walk before him in simple trust. I'm going to leave you today at that. It's a good place to stop. The patience of faith. Is it not true that most of us Christians fail here? Dear Abraham failed. And the result is the fruitage of the flesh. Oh, God grant you and I will walk in close fellowship with the Lord, that the Spirit of God will work in us and through us his own precious divine purpose. And I am sure that when we do that, we redeem the time. We live in that sweet, joyful fellowship with the Lord, and the purpose of God is fulfilled in us and fulfilled through us. Now read your Bible, will you, as we continue in chapter 17 in our next lesson.